Gonna look that up. See, that's what I'm missing right there, is the application of it. Teaching all these formulas and changes in equations doesn't really do me any good until I can understand what it's being used for. I need to understand its purpose, how to actually use the math.
This course will give you a real good idea, then you can get into the formulas and the mechanics of it.
Right there. That's basically the keys to unlock that mystery box. If I can understand something in three-dimensional space or adding in the fourth dimension of time into it, if I can see it concretely, I can understand it. But abstract thinking is very difficult for me. That's not my strong point.
So, is I use a treadmill for exercise to walk on it, and I try to play one of these lectures for 30 minutes while I'm walking on the machine. So I'm accomplishing two things at one time, getting the exercise, both physically and mentally.
I'll definitely look into it.
I get a catalog every couple of months on it. Once you get your name on the list, you'll get catalogs with all kinds of things. You can also probably look online and see all the courses they have. But again, buy them when they're on sale. And they have a couple big sales a couple times a year.
Definitely do that. I need to figure out how to learn calculus. That's what it is that I struggle with the most. I can understand trigonometry because I know the applications of it. I know how to use it. But I've never understood calculus. I don't know what it's for. And if I could figure that out, I would be so much better off because then I could use it.
Geometry.
The early age. I had never taken geometry before, but because of my curious mind and constantly working on three-dimensional problems, especially after understanding the fundamentals of trigonometry, when I went to high school, the teacher gave us the end-of-course exam for geometry, and this is an honors class. This is the first day of class, just to see where the class stood. I took the final exam the first day of class and got a 100 on it, and I had never taken geometry before. And it's not like I accidentally learned it. I just used the stuff all the time that they were going to cover in class that year. I didn't know the definition of geometry, other than that I'd probably do pretty good at it because it was involving three-dimensional space. But I used that stuff every day, so that's why I did so well in the class.
Geometry, then you get the other kinds of geometry that get into the three-dimensional stuff. But algebra, people are scared of it, but basically it's a language. It's a language of mathematics. And when I was teaching it, I tried to approach it that way, that here's a language you're going to learn, this language, because it's going to open up all kinds of things for students.
Very useful. I know how to use that. I know how to use geometry, I know how to use trigonometry, and I know how to use algebra. All that stuff can all be interwoven together to solve a lot of problems. Things that you are trying to use every day, if you're trying to calculate out different problems and get the actual answers, all of that stuff is tools that you can use to get the answers you need. And I'm sure calculus is probably the same way, but I don't know how to use it. I don't know what it's for.
The thing for you to make it as a goal to study it and find out what it's used for.
I remember early on, I started off playing around a little bit, just a little bit in the field of mathematics, learning how to judge the height of trees off of the length of shadows and angles and stuff like that. The tree would literally tell how tall it was.
Big.
That's really neat. I've done all kinds of different crazy stuff before, including trying to I've used mathematics to calculate how many horsepower of a chainsaw at how many RPMs it would take to make a bicycle go certain speeds on level ground. All kinds of different stuff like that. There's plenty of equations out there. That's like applicational math. How to solve problems like that is stuff that I've always been fairly decent at. I know how to use those equations. I know how to get those answers. I just don't know calculus.
It's another basic. It's kind of like algebra. It lets you get into all kinds of other things. If you're interested in astronomy, you'll find it extremely useful for that.
About astronomy.
When you get into, if you start looking at that, the calculus will help you a lot on that.
I should look into that because I need to figure out how to apply it. That's all I need right there. I know how to apply geometry, algebra, trigonometry, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know how to apply calculus, so if I had an application to use it on, then that would help me learn it better. So I guess that's what I need to find then.
Good way of starting, because he's talking about the concepts of it and then gets into the mechanical parts of it. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you. You give me some ideas in terms of a lot of things, but I'm going to have to call it a night. I've got some other stuff I've got to do. Over.
Yep, and I've got to get me some sleep. I've been awake since 5:45 this morning, and I'm kind of tired now, so I'll probably get me some sleep. But it's been good talking to you, and I'll definitely talk to you later on down the log. One of these days I'll have to tell you all the different kinds of interests that I've had and what I've gotten into. I just try, for the most part, I don't normally talk about that kind of stuff on the radio because I don't want people to think that I'm some sort of a bragging person or some sort of a show-off. I know that there's lots of people out there who have done the same or better than me at a whole bunch of other stuff, too, and I don't want to bore them with a bunch of lame stories. But I like to get into a lot of things, and to be the age that I am, I know a lot of things about a lot of things, but I don't want to come across as some sort of a know-it-all, so that's why I don't talk about it on the radio a whole lot.
Take a risk. How old are you?
I'm
the right age to start learning about a whole stuff. I'm 80 right now, so I'm still learning stuff, just like the radio. I spent the last several days building a shelf over my desk to hold more radio equipment.
Funny. I had no idea you were 80. You're the same age as Harry KC4EZN from Candler. He's also 80.
He's mine active. My father was 99 and he was still studying Spanish.
That's really, really good. I know small amounts of Spanish. I know small amounts of German. I know enough of it to be able to figure out what people are talking about in general. I can't fully understand all of it or communicate very well, but I can understand what's being said and talked about. I know the topics that people are discussing when they're having a conversation, and I know how to ask basic questions and understand basic answers to help me through a situation if I was ever, well, I end up dealing with Mexicans fairly differently. Mexicans and other people who speak Spanish, but literally mostly actual Mexicans on construction sites. And I have to ask them questions in Spanish a lot of times because some of these guys don't understand any, and I mean any English at all. So I've had to learn some Spanish to deal with them. I took it in high school. I remember most of what we were taught. And I also took some German, which proved beneficial when I worked at BMW. It gave me a leg up over there. In the social aspect of things, the Germans stuck with themselves. And the the, I guess you could call them native people over here, not really native, but the Americans stuck with themselves, so I got to go over and talk to the Germans and discuss some things with them, and that was really neat. It was a conversation starter that I knew any German at all, so that helped. I don't regret either language.
I think just a few words will open up a lot of things. I think my father spoke pretty good Spanish, but he always studied it. He was a prisoner of war in the Philippines, and when they were asking questions, it had to go through three languages. It would start off with Japanese, and then there was an interpreter who would speak Tagalog, which is one of the primary languages in the Philippines, and then it would go to Spanish, and then it would go to English. Well, my father understood enough of the Spanish and the Tagalog so that generally he could anticipate questions that were coming before they got to him, so he'd know how to answer them.
Very helpful. Kind of gives you a heads up on what's headed your way. That way it gives you more time to think on your feet.
Overseas traveling, always make the assumption that the people around you understand English. They may not speak it, but they understand it. So anything you say, they're going to understand. So you have to be careful in what you're saying to the people you're with, that the people around you understand it. Are you interested in history?
Very, very interested in history.
This site down, www.rayWinstead.com/EDW. Father's autobiography, my brother put together the site, has a lot of pictures, and my father wrote the autobiography. It's about 30 pages long. The first part is before the Army, how he got into the Army and why, in the Army, as a prisoner of war in the Japanese, and then after the Army. You'll find it pretty interesting.
Can you give me the website one more time?
www.rayWinstead.com/EDW.
Everything except the /EDW. I've got it now, though. Thank you.
I've been adding stuff as we are finding stuff. And we're still finding things. One of my nephews is getting into genealogy and looking up stuff.
Really neat. I like that. I know that my family traces back to England just a little bit. Much of my family, especially my dad's side, came from Germany. On my mom's side, it came from France and from Ireland.
Born in the Philippines just before the war started, for about almost a year. My mother and I were evacuated on the last ship out that was taking Dependence, and my nephew found the manifest from that ship that lists my mother and me, and it turns out there were two babies born on that trip.
So you're originally from the Philippines?
My family's from Eastern Carolina. My father was in the Army, and he was stationed in the Philippines at the time.
Very, very neat. Very neat story.
You'll find it real interesting as far as his history. He lived until he was 99. Studied. He studied in the Army. And then he and I were in college at the same time at the same college. He was a year ahead of me, because he had had courses in the Army. And then once he graduated, he went ahead and got his master's and eventually his doctorate, and went back to the same school teaching math and kept on studying and doing all kinds of stuff. So he was always studying something.
I like that a lot. I kind of want to be like that. I've never enjoyed sitting at a desk at all, ever. I don't like to to sit doing hours and hours and hours of homework. That's never been my thing. But I always love to continue learning things, especially things that I can use every single day. I could never go to college for some useless degree that I would never use. I would only go to college for something that I could use every single day. I guess I try to find things that are, in my mind, I could describe as purposeful, I suppose, is the best way that I have to say it. But I like to be able to use my skills. For instance, I still want to go become a diesel mechanic and learn how to rebuild big truck engines and transmissions and stuff like that, and solve other problems that trucks always get, different stuff like that. I've already taken apart and put back together pretty much every vehicle I've ever owned. I have one that there's hardly any bolts in the entire vehicle that I haven't personally turned, removed, and put back into place. I like that kind of stuff. I'm very hands-on pretty much everything that I do. I also know how to weld, and I know how to read and even write blueprints and all kinds of stuff like that.
Earlier, it all begins to tie together, and I think you, once you get into these courses, you'll enjoy those and be able to find a lot of them that you like listening to while you're driving. Just don't get distracted by them.
Well, I'll definitely look into that stuff, and for now I'm going to go to bed because I'm definitely tired. But I will catch you later on down the log. I'm drawing a blank on your name. Is it Ed?
Ed. I spell Echo Delta.
I was thinking it was. And I'm forgetting your location as well. That I actually don't know. I think you said it was Taylor's, but I could be wrong.
Brevard, I'm actually halfway between Brevard and Rosman in Transylvania County, which is about, 25 miles southwest of Asheville.
Where you're at up there. There is a road up there that goes between Brevard and Rosman that you can take. It is several miles. If you leave from Cedar's Head, it's several miles into North Carolina. You turn left, and you can go from near Brevard towards Rosman, and it winds its way across kind of a mountain ridge line up there. And I love to take my motorcycle up that way and go through all the mountains. Very, very little traffic up there. It's peaceful and very pretty.
Comment. ZM, WD8RON, this is KO4NUE. How are y'all, gentlemen? Good. Just stepped inside for a few minutes. Sorry, y'all still talking. Figured I'd jump in. What's going on?
I'm talking about school areas of application of mathematics and science and different stuff like that, and he was just telling me where he lived at, and I was letting him know I know exactly where that area is he lives at because I like to go up there.
Just to let you know, I'm here monitoring, I guess. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Q, so just want to drop loud and say hello.
Just a second. Up in here. He's in here somewhere.
D-R-O-M. You're talking about 276 and 178, and there's another one I can't remember that's further west of here that's got lots of turns and all. Just don't drive your truck up those.
They don't do that. I'll try to find the road name. I'm drawing a blank, but yes, there's a road that connects between 276 and 178, and I love to go up and down that road. Well, it kind of runs east to west. I love to go down that road, though. It's fun.
The US 64 is the main one from Brevard to Rosman and then out to Toxaway.
further south than 64. It's not all the way up there.
So South Carolina 11?
Carolina. I'm going to find it real quick.
Do you know which one he may be talking about?
Dude.
It's not very far from where I am. Are you looking at a map now? One called Hannaford. I'll run into one called Walnut Hollow. If you follow Walnut Hollow east, you'll run across Hannaford going north.
Do you live off of that road?
Fork.
That road. East Fork. Walnut Hollow. I've been on those roads a lot. Hannaford, probably. But that whole area up there is an area that I like to go through on my motorcycle. I really, really, really enjoy it up there.
I'll ever see a giraffe crossing sign, like a deer crossing sign, but with a giraffe on it?
Sure. I don't know.
Around the corner from Green Road, which has a bridge, well, there are two bridges over Broad, French Broad. One is Green Road, the other is down in Calvert, which is further west of here.
I've been all through that area. It's been a minute since I've been up there, but I've been all over that area.
If you're going to be up this way, give me a call. Come by.
I'll definitely do that. I don't know when the next time is that I'll have a chance to, but I used to go up there and ride a whole lot more than I have in a long time now, but yep, I'll definitely do that. I really like the area up there. The weather is much cooler. There's a whole lot less traffic. And it's really pretty.
And up here, the roads are curvy, which people like. But people here also like to go across the center line on the curves. So be careful to stay and give the center lines lots of room.
Absolutely. Yep, I've run into that a lot. Most people up there go down the dead center of the road.
I'm working on is a poster called Be Bright, Be Safe. For bicyclists, which we have hordes of them, and motorcycles, to wear bright jackets. Motorcyclists tend to wear black and you can't see them.
I have a bright green vest that I have for my bike. It's kind of a highlighter greenish yellow.
All too often, they're all black and you can't see them. I had a relative up in Michigan several months ago, and he was killed when somebody pulled out from a side road who probably didn't see him. The motorcyclist ran right into him and was killed.
Terrible. I'm really sorry to hear that. I had a vehicle pull out in front of me one time making a left-hand turn. And I was not able to miss them. I hit them at 45 miles an hour and thankfully walked away from that crash. Definitely lost the bike, but I was fortunate enough to live and without serious injury as well. That is very rare.
Bike when I was in Japan, but I won't ride one here.
Comment. Hey, gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and QSY. Q4NUE 73s, I'm clear.
Back in here, Chad.
Back side of my eyelids. Y'all have a good night. That's 73.
The road one in Japan, a small one, and enjoyed it, but I never got really comfortable with it. I didn't put enough miles on it to really get comfortable. But as far as using one here, I don't, because people here don't see them.
They definitely don't. I have about 25,000 miles on motorcycles so far between the two bikes that I've had.
Good one. That would have been back in the 30s between Norfolk and Eastern Carolina, going back and forth from up there. And I've still got his jacket, a leather jacket.
Whoa. And that area now, it's the traffic is so terrible now, I don't want to ride my motorcycle out there. I've done that one time. I won't do it again.
I can ride him here because people don't see you. And I just wasn't comfortable with it to get on the highways here on the cycle. But I see a whole lot of them going by the house here. Large groups sometimes. I think every once in a while I'll see one with anywhere from 10 to 30 bikes.
And you live way out there too.
Right side of the Hannaford. I'm about 70 feet from the highway, so we both hear them and see them all the time.
You have some very, very, very good, what we call good riding roads out there. There's less traffic than there is in the Greenville area. It's very pretty. The roads are nice and curvy, which is very fun on a motorcycle. And 1% of the car traffic that we have anywhere around here. So that's why there's so many up there.
Really picking up here. They're doing some construction on 64. Actually east or north of Brevard, they're putting in a circle, and that's causing all kinds of traffic problems.
Are they ever going to finish widening the other ends of 64? There's a highway portion of 64, and then it drops abruptly to two lanes.
I heard anything about that. They're replacing the bridge on a green road, and I don't know how long that's going to take. QRZ and get my address and then go on Google Earth, you can see the house from above. I'm on the side of Henry Mountain, and so my house faces almost due east, not quite, but east, so my antenna doesn't go to the south very well.
What's my antenna?
J-pole now, so it's Omni. But I, for some reason, can't hit Hendersonville right now, and I have been, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
What Hendersonville for?
You're there for, I belong to the Hendersonville Club, and the Hendersonville is on 146.640, and for some reason I haven't been able to get on it lately.
The leaves coming on the trees. KI4LCI
portable. I was trying to find out about Andy. I was suspicious of that. I was just wondering.
I wonder if that's what it is, because my antenna is not in the trees, but it's kind of blocked by the leaves just coming out.
It's between you and the repeater. Will also do that. All the propagation changes when the leaves come out.
Very much a fact. I don't know who I was telling here. I've told very many, but when the leaves are fully out, it's going to be no doing it with a lot of them. When I, especially when you HF, it's real bad.
That is true.
The Yagi, a four-element Yagi, Chad helped me with it. I've got it in a... It's fairly clear as far as leaves... compared to my J-poles at the other end of the house, and I've got it higher. It's about, above the earth surface, about 25 feet, but I haven't been able to hit Hendersonville. Hendersonville is kind of northeast of here. Them or break the repeater.
Can hit that repeater later on. Is it 146.640?
Got a tone of 91.5.
I can actually hit that one from here.
Problem by Walla Mountain right here where I'm at, I don't even hear it, much less get into it, but I've heard someone say it was on by Walla Mountain.
Well, I have tried to hit Bear Walla, and I haven't been able to hit that either. I got onto Google Earth and drew some azimuth to it, but some of those places that I thought I could hit, I can't hit.
Two things around here, like I said, a lot of our stuff over here in Upper Pickens County, most of it's UHF. And when all these leaves on these hills around me here come in and get up to full par, I lose a lot of things during the summer.
Pickens, I don't know exactly where the repeater is on 146.790. I can usually talk to them. And let's see, this one, and also the one on Mount Mitchell, 145.190, and also 146.790 and 146.910. Those are ones I can generally hit.
146.790. It's up to 146.790. It's up on Sassafras Mountain. And Sassafras Mountain's not air miles where I'm at, not that far away, but it looks back off down in there toward Rosman there and back off up from there, back off up toward Brevard. So that's where the 146.790 is at. It's technically in Pickens County, been on Sassafras Mountain, but it's actually the Anderson Radio Club's long distance repeater.
South Carolina by about 100 feet. It's really on the North Carolina, South Carolina state line in Pickens County.
Pickens Mountain. That I'm most for, there's two, one in Greenville County and one in Pickens County. Now, the one in Pickens County is where our local stuff over here is at. We roughly have, as far as the group here over here goes, we got two meter repeaters, but most of our stuff, though, we got, I don't know, four or five UHF repeaters, so that's kind of generally where most activity is at most of the time.
Most due south of me, and I happen to have a large hill right next to me that's due south of me.
Sassafras World is where 146.790's at, where it's at. You got this one here, we're on here, that's on Caesar's Head, plus you got a 145.130 that's up on Caesar's Head, and you got a 145.47 that's up on Caesar's Head. And as far as the two meter machines over here in this part of Pickens County, 147.195, it's on Glacier Mountain out of Pickens, 141.3 tons, and there's a 145.17 ton 162.2 that's on 6 Mile Mountain.
47.000.
And it's on the air, but it's, no one hardly ever uses it. It used to be linked up with a repeater up in Franklin, North Carolina. And it used to be all the time, and it stayed linked with them, but everybody up there died off, and this guy that owns it, that owns that machine, it's still on there, but no one ever, you won't ever find anybody on that repeater anymore. So it's on there, but as far as finding anybody on it, you'll never find a soul on it anymore.
Not on there. I didn't hardly hear nobody on that repeater neither.
15, 20, 25 years ago, that 147.000 machine was linked up with a 2 meter machine up in Franklin, North Carolina. I don't remember what the frequency on that was, whether it was 146.24 or 147.24. I just don't remember right now, but back when those up there in Franklin was still around, those two machines were linked all the time, and there was quite a bit of activity.
Frequencies now, I've got 147.0 Pickens on Glassy Mountain.
When I was talking about
changed battery packs. I'm back. JI-4LZI-4. But as far as that 147000 goes, you'll never find anybody on it nowadays.
A repeater from here. I could not get it to respond to me.
Checked it lately, so I don't know it. Like I said, the owners keeps it on the air. Why, I don't know, because there's never no one on it. But I noticed here a while back, a past year or two, he had to change the repeater control on it, because it used to have a female voice on it on the tape. It said WB4YZ on Glasset Mountain near Pickens, South Carolina. I noticed since then, though, he's changed it and put a normal control on it. You can tell it's got a computerized voice on it now.
Site, and I'm looking at my paper. I don't have the whole site, but it's got a call sign, well, kind of a call sign with it. Echo Mike 85 Oscar Echo, and that's got a list of them that you can sort out by area and stuff like that.
That's what you're talking about in this, I guess, in this area. Well, you can. Like I said, I don't claim to know everything about all, but that's just the ones that's in my scan sequence here that I monitor a lot. And that's kind of how I know about a lot of this stuff. I've learned it over the years, even before I got my tech license. And if any new one pops up around here, it might catch me off guard until I get it in the scan sequence.
AJ4WZM, I'm going to go ahead and sign for now, folks. I can't stay awake no more. I got to go to sleep. I'll catch y'all later on down the lot. KJ4WZM, clear for now.
Been in here long. I turned the scanner on and seen that y'all was, someone was still in here. And rather than moving all the stuff to get on the fix station, I just picked up the HT. So, Ed, go ahead and tell him good night, KI4LZI-4.
So I went. Well, I appreciate your comments. It clarifies some of the stations I've been trying to reach, or some of the repeaters I've been trying to reach, and haven't been able to do anything. I've put them on my scanner, trying to figure out if anything's happening to them sometimes, but not much luck on some of them. We'll probably talk to you tomorrow.
Whiskey 4 India, Yank India.
The one right here is the one I first heard when I first found out about amateur radio way back, Christmas of 1976. I had a receiver who was 2 meters on, and I tuned it in, and heard this repeater in use around about Christmas time when I got that receiver, and that's how I found out about amateur radio.
It's like a good way of finding out. It's easier to get on the 2 meter, I think, than to get on the HF. I'm getting ready to get on the HF. I've got to put my antenna up because I haven't been on it. I was with the Mars, but that's been 20-odd years ago.
Somebody I knew from that time, they never knew me, of course, because I didn't get my license 05, but just about all those that I heard it was on here back then, a long, gone, and silent key. Go ahead, IY.
I got my license in 96, so I had my license in a while.
Somewhat of a hearing issue, and I would have never passed the CW business. And I got in contact, run into a couple, two or three out here at the Pickens Flea Market in 05, and they told me that things had changed. And one of them got me a tech book from up there at Shelby, and I studied it. We took the test in October, and that's when I got my tech license.
The code also, it turned out to be a neurological problem that I've learned about since then, that I have what's called primary writing syndrome. I asked the doctor, is there a secondary writing syndrome? He said, no. And it turns out the neurons don't reach the hand when they're supposed to, so my writing is illegible.
When it comes to certain tones, I just can't hear. I've had that since I was in elementary school. Go to station, go ahead.
Problems on my toes, past my 5 and my 13, and when I was ready to take my advanced class, they did away with the advanced class and did an extra class only, so I was ready for it.
Some research since then found out that was in 2000. Go ahead, Ed.
First novice in the Army in 1968. And going back a couple weeks ago, pulling out papers, I found all my licenses, including the one from Vietnam, which was a Mars station.
Understanding today, Navy Mars doesn't exist. Air Force Mars, Army Mars is still there, but the Navy, another Pam around this area, WB4DPP, he used to be in Mars up until a few years ago, and he told me that the Navy was going out, and sure enough, the Navy Mars did go out.
Belongs to the Army Mars. I wasn't in it for a long time when I looked at it after I moved here, thinking about getting back in it. Most of it now is digital, and I'm not really interested in that part of it. We were using voice messages, health and welfare from overseas. We'd get the messages and then relay them by phone to the people in the local area.
Nowadays, it's mostly windling. I tune across some of those frequencies on my 718 outside 75-meter band, and there's a little bit of voice, but in general, it's mostly windling. Go ahead, IYI.
Get out of here. Oh, no, go ahead and hit the sack. It's good talking to you. And I'll talk to you later. Whiskey for India, Yankee India.
I just heard y'all all in here when I turned the scanner on when I come back in here a while ago. Sometimes there's activity here, sometimes there's not. I know Chad joined the Mars program, but I didn't know exactly which one it was he joined, though.
It's Army, but I'm not positive. Like I said, I was interested in it, but once they got away from the voice messages and started using all digital, I wasn't interested in getting the equipment for it.
Being all you got to do, I'm not, because like I say, everybody's got to keep quiet, but see up above, 4 megahertz up in there, you'll hear activity up in there. And up on the other end, too, above, let's see, 3485, go dropping down in frequency, you'll hear them using some voice, but it's primarily
wind-linked. Once in a while, we get interesting messages. The most interesting one was a proposal to a father for permission to marry his daughter. I never heard the result of that as far as the message going backwards, but I was always curious about that.
Said I tuned around some up in that area, and that's about what it comes down to, you know. The bulk of it is in wind link digital, and they communicate with one another still using voice, of course, but it's primarily that.
Mountain rest is, I was looking at here, 147.030, and it says it's 28 miles southwest from where I am.
Long Mountain in Oconee County, near Oconee State Park over there.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I think it's going to be behind the mountain, so I won't really have a shot to it.
It's possible. The 147030 and the 145290, they're on the same mountain over there, along the mountain.
The Thermal Club had their simplex test about a month or so ago, and I was able to pick up one station in Inman, but not another station in Inman. I don't know exactly how far apart they are or where they are, but I thought that was pretty interesting.
I don't know that much about what happened with the Thermal Club. I know we done something similar here in January on 2 meters, and here in the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to do it on 70 centimeters. But with these waves coming on, I tell you, it's going to affect everything greatly, the way it was then to the way it is now, and on where most of our stuff is down here, UHF is really going to tear it up.
Well, exactly when I started operating here, I think it was around September, October last year, so the leaves weren't a problem, but I hadn't experienced it during the summer.
You've been at it longer than me. You ever done anything with UHF, any?
Just the 2 meter and the HF Mars.
UHF, when the leaves get on the trees, the wind blows, and if you get any rain on them, and all that's happening at the same time in the heart of summer, then you're like I am here in a hole. I mean, you're lucky if you hear the nearest UHF repeater, period. And our group wants to do a UHF test here in the next 2 or 3 months, but everybody's going to find out it ain't going to be like the 2 meter was back in January.
Looking at one on Pinnacle Mountain, but that's way beyond where Chad lives, so I don't think I can hit that one either.
Particular Pinnacle Mountain axe you're talking about, cause there's one right up here next to Table Rock, up here Table Rock Mountain. There has to be another one.
All I have is Pinnacle Mountain, and it's about, from Brevard, it's about, 120 degrees, roughly southeast.
The house up here, the right side's Table Rock Mountain, and the other side's Pinnacle Mountain, up here in Table Rock State Park. Pinnacle Mountain, this Pinnacle Mountain is not far from Sassafras Mountain.
Different one, because looking at my map, Sassafras is almost due south of here, and Pinnacle Mountain is way east of Sassafras and a little bit south.
Brasser Mountain part I was talking about a while ago, there's one in Greenville County and one over here in Pickens County, the one that I'm most familiar with.
You don't have the borders on this map, but it looks like it's down here in Greenville somewhere.
Man.
Looking at Bear Wallow Mountain, which is northeast of here, and I have not been able to break the repeater there either.
2 meters is affected some, but 440 really takes a hit when these leaves comes on. 440 band does, more so than 2 meters.
I haven't worried about getting into that because of my location. I figured I'd have trouble hitting the repeaters from here.
I said there's a 442-400 up on Caesar's Head up there that's in the group here. There has been times, even with a fixed station here, and me running all the power I could do, and I would be noisy into the repeater because I'm down in this hole and all these hills around me with leaves on the trees in the summer. I tell you, it's that close and the UHF, it tore it up.
A different kind of antenna.
to give up on that point because we took and got some other UHF repairs. Then Randall put the 147-195 on there, finally. And they linked it up to the UHF machines, and I just started using the 147-195, which I do much better with it than I do the UHF repairs.
To hear that Anderson, and it's a, let me see, 146.970, but that's 50 miles from here and south, so I don't think I can touch that one.
Howdy, because it's on top of the hospital building in downtown Anderson, and it doesn't have anywhere near the elevation that 79 has.
Okay, that's why. I'm looking at this one. 79 is in Pickens. Is that anywhere near? That's not near Anderson. Looks like it's kind of in a direct line to it, but not near it.
Well, that's what I said when I said, well, go back to 79 on Peel and Sassafras. It's in Pickens County, but technically it belongs to the Anderson Radio Club. That's their long-range repeater.
That one without a problem. I'm on that net quite a bit.
You should be able to, because like I say, where it's at, it looks almost straight down in, up there down into Rosman, and you're in the right place. Up there toward Brevard, you could still get into it real good, as long as you're not in a deep hole that's blocking you to it.
Of here, and there's some, I call them hills, I guess they're mountains. Directly south, real close on my property, I'm at about 2,200 feet, and that goes up to probably 3+, and it's only a couple hundred yards away.
This right here that we're on, and the 145-130 on Sassafras. And 147-195, and if I get on the right X around here out in the backyard where I do best with the 146-79, those are the ones that I can hit the best with an HT like I'm using. This one right here, though, is the best of all, though, signal-wise, that I can do with an HT, this one right here.
About 20 watts, and I was down to about 10 one time and seemed to be able to hit it without a problem. I'm still working on my Yagi, trying to find out what direction to point it to get the best signals.
You and Chad up there, I know Chad's been up there, and I'm not exactly sure where you are, but keep working on it. But as you well know about the leaves, more and more leaves are coming on all the time, and it will affect some things.
It is right next to a tree, then the leaves are coming out, and so I've been curious and I'm watching just how that's affected the antenna.
Close it is, don't be surprised if it's going to absorb some of the RF.
It's close. Some of the branches are actually a couple of feet from the antenna, and the tree itself is so 20 feet.
For the next 2 or 3 months, I'm certain, luckily this is 2 meters, it's affected, but not nearly as bad as 440 is, but I'm sure you'll notice some difference, so.
Track on my meter as to what the readings are each night, so I can see just what's happening to it.
Its location, well, even like I said before, I even had my ham license just listening in on the repeaters around here, and I pretty well, unless something new goes up, have it all nailed down and all that, and until 147-195 and 145-17 went on there. I tell you, I had it rough here with doing only 440 here in the summer.
This radio, I almost got one with the 440 on it, but decided not to. Sometimes I wonder if I should have, but the cost was a little bit more than I wanted to put into it at the time.
Good, but you better be in the right location. I don't know if you've been on any of the warning system repeaters, but most of those warning system repeaters are 440 repeaters. If you're in a good location, you can do fairly well with it, but you can't be in a... This location where I'm at, I'm just going to kind of... It's like a toilet bowl to a certain degree. But I'm in the bottom of it with all these hills around me, and it's hard enough that when the leaves get on the trees, it's almost an impossibility unless it's on about 2 to 3 mountains.